Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save: fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We are live here in Callaway Resort and Gardens for a very special edition of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. My name is Brandon Adams. If you're watching this on video right now, you can see to my right, I've got the legendary former Georgia Bulldog John Stinchcomb. To my left, I've got Dog Nation's recruiting insider Jeff Sintel. And what a night we had last night here at Callaway Resort and Gardens for the kickoff of our Dog Nation Days of Summer. It was truly an incredible time. And John, I don't know if you're like me, but the experience of being around Georgia fans and sharing with them their excitement of the upcoming season and just the fun associated with talking about football in an atmosphere like this, it was really, for me, a night not to be forgotten.
Well, it's contagious. I think anytime you're around folks that are fired up and passionate about anything, it infects you a little bit. And talking about Georgia football, how can you beat it? And the fans last night were exceptional. The questions they asked, the feel in the room made for a great night.
Yeah, it was a great night indeed. And, you know, Jeff, already this morning somebody's told me something that I guess I wasn't aware of. Math never been my strength. Apparently, as we stand here right now on this Friday doing Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger from Callaway Resort and Gardens, we are 78 days away from the start of the football season, and it just so happens we have big number 78.
Great number.
Standing with us right now. I would say that works out pretty well, does it not?
No, you know BJ Sweeney, our show caller, our shot caller at DogNation.com. He plans all this stuff, and that's why Stinch is with us today.
Yeah, everything works out exactly as it should. We got a really fun show. We're going to keep John and Jeff here for the duration. For those of you watching live on video, we'll take a lot of your comments. And much the same way that really this entire week we've just been kind of relaxed and kind of a summer mode, we're going to kind of keep that going as a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. So feel free to kind of settle in and be a part of all of this as we both look ahead to the start of the 2019 season. That's obviously a big part of what we do, but we also do our due diligence to take care of what is a major recruiting weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. And in all seriousness, it is good to have John with us for that, just given the fact that a lot of this weekend will center around the offensive line. But a couple minutes into the program here, I do need to get to what I think is a fairly significant profile at DogNation.com of the official visit that five-star running back Kendall Milton is actually taking right now, even as we speak this. Milton tweeted on Thursday night that he's in Athens. He gave you the pushpin emoji for that, and now he'll kind of go through his paces on all of this. Jeff, you got a chance to talk to Chris Milton, Milton's father. Chris has been actually really good at, not just with you, but just on social media in general, kind of being fairly transparent for a family of a five-star running back. They've actually been pretty open with their recruitment, which for me, as a fan, you appreciate the fact they've been as open as they have been with their thought process. That continued with your terrific interview at DogNation.com. I've got some specific questions I want to ask you about this. I know that John wants to interact on this too. But just before we kind of get into my specific questions on what you had with Milton, what was your overall takeaway in speaking to him and being around Kendall and just the experience with them going into what is, no matter what school he ends up choosing, a pivotal weekend for Milton as well?
Yeah, I think the scope is what we need to start with. And, you know, they just relaxed. They just altered the recruiting rules about 2 years ago where you can take official visits in April and May and June. And Kendall, I mean, this is the gargantuan thing for me. When you take that 10,000-foot sales view of this situation, he's ready. He's ready to get it done. He thinks he knows what he wants to do, and he wants to be certain. So he's taking four official visits from California, cross-country red-eye flights in 19 days. He's been to Ohio State, he's been to LSU, he's got Georgia. Then he's got the last one will be Alabama, and then he's got the opening next week in Texas. I get the feeling they continually ramp up this timeline. They want to get things done. And this is a young man. It's kind of like a running back. He's not going to dilly-dally in these holes. He's about ready to make his decision. It could come as early as a couple of days after that last official visit to Alabama.
And I want to get John more into Jeff, what he had to say about that, because I do think the acceleration, the timeline here of all the stuff in the Dog Nation profile of Kendall Milton's official visit, the acceleration of the timeline might actually end up being the most interesting part of it. But put us in the perspective of a former player for a moment. Now, listen, you had a strong tie to Georgia because your brother played there. You knew the program well, but you also wanted to make the best choice for you. How much pressure is a guy like Kendall Milton feeling here? He's not from Georgia. He's from California. And he's weighing Ohio State, and he's weighing LSU, he's weighing Alabama, he's weighing Georgia. Internally, how much pressure do you think he is feeling to make the right choice? Because even at this age of, you know, a little more player flexibility, there is still a binding agreement once you sign that letter of intent. Is Kendall under pressure right now?
Well, you know what's awesome for him is that you've got great opportunities across the board. I mean, Georgia's one of them, and, you know, selfishly you want him to sign with the Dogs, but you're looking at some of the best programs across the country. The pressure comes from the exterior for your family and just the perception of wanting, you know, every fan base is tapping on him in social media saying you should be a fill in the blank. So there is pressure, but for him, you're looking at the elite programs across the country. The pressure is just finding that fit that works for you, and the rest of the pressure can fall by the wayside.
And, Jeff, I guess when I read the – I was like everybody else sitting at breakfast this morning scrolling through my phone, reading the piece at dognation.com. The one question that I had that probably jumped out more so than anything else is the idea of finishing this sometime in July. That excites me because I like recruiting news, and to think that we may get some big recruiting news one way or another in a few weeks is pretty exciting. But it also has the ring of kind of being a little bit of an artificial deadline. Why does July matter in this? Why not wait till August, for instance, or what maybe we thought what might happen to begin with, which is all the way to December? A lot of five-star recruits like taking theirs to the end of the period, the start of the early signing period. Why July? Why accelerate this process so much?
Well, he's going to take these official visits between May 30th and June 21st, June 19th. And what he's wanting to do, he's feel like they've got enough data right now. It's just different now. Every time Kendall Milton has stepped onto a college campus for a visit, they can call it an unofficial, but when every coach in the building greets you at the door and you're treated like a 2019 or 2018 class recruit, something's different there. That was the hard part for the Miltons, getting USC, Oregon, Utah, UCLA, Arizona State, Texas Tech, getting all those schools out of the mix and coming down to a four. Now they've got four, and now it's like, how well does this fit? How good are the relationships? How comfortable do we feel here? The one thing I love about Kendall Milton and his story is he knows all these places are winning schools. He knows all these places are schools that are going to be a great fit for him. He still feels that it's up to him to see these tools available, pick them up, and then make it work.
I think that's a really interesting point to deliver. By the way, it's Jeff Sintel, John Stinchcomb joining me, Brandon Adams, it's Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today. And we're live here at Callaway Resort and Gardens. A beautiful, beautiful weather. Unbelievable continuation of our Dog Nation days of summer. You couldn't ask for anything better than this. And, Jeff, I guess along those lines, when you look at Milton, and obviously I've talked a lot about Zachary Evans, the other running back that Georgia's in the mix for, but it's hard not to notice that, you know, Milton had four finalists, Evans had five finalists, but of the four, they were all the same. And had Kendall Milton had a fifth finalist, I think there was a lot of assumption, it would have been the school that Zachary Evans also included, Oklahoma. When you think about, you know, Seth McGowan and these other running backs, it's amazing how much overlap there is in terms of these elite running backs for this 2020 cycle and the schools that they're considering here. Is that also part of putting the pedal to the metal here in competition with the other running backs to make sure that you get the school that's the best possible fit for you on the assumption that maybe they might end up going to different schools?
I think from the young men and their family's perspective, Brandon, I think it's a lot like choosing a job in your sector of the world. Like if you're in tech world, you're looking at Apple, you're looking at Amazon.com, you're looking at all the big boys, the big fish, and it just so happens that all these schools have every resource in the world imaginable under the sun, but they also have depth chart flexibility. Look at Georgia. DeAndre Swift, very likely to go to the NFL. Brian Herring will be done with eligibility this year. I mean, Zamir White can be an exclamation point, but I think right now you got to call him a question mark right now until he gets a lot of carries under his belt with his health. So Georgia cracks wide open for him next year to come in and be a number one, number two, or number three back if he earns it. So then you go with all that, and same thing Ohio State. J.K. Dobbins is very likely to go to the NFL after this season. So there's openings there as well. I think they feel all these places fit the bill for what they're looking for.
We are live here at Callaway Resort and Gardens. It's Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today. And by the way, we're Father's Day weekend. A great way to get set up for the cookout that you're having or that gift for your dad. You know, Kroger's a great place to go for that. We're talking about gift cards and all the stuff, the essentials really for having the cookout you want to have. Kroger, a great spot to go for all of that. And John Stinchcomb, I'm guessing you guys got a big Father's Day planned as well. You get a chance to be the king of your castle for a little bit this weekend in honor of Father's Day?
Well, they're going to celebrate me. I also have my stepdad's with us, so we're going to celebrate him. I think for all the dads out there, you finally get that one chance to lay back and relax. More than anything, you just want to sit by the the pool somewhere and be with your family. But for all the dads out there, happy Father's Day.
No doubt about that whatsoever. Let's go around the doghouse here for a moment, presented by Merriweather and Tharp. And, you know, in addition, John, to the Kendall Milton official visit, it's also a big weekend with offensive linemen coming in. From an uncommitted standpoint, Andrew Rain, probably the biggest among those, big-time, good-looking player out of the state of Oklahoma. And you and I talked so much about this yesterday and really in previous conversations we've had in general that, you know, we see Sam Pittman right now, the Georgia offensive line coach, having a level of success. And Jeff Sintel has chronicled this maybe as much as anybody has. I played that audio as part of Dog Nation Daily yesterday, that if things go well, Georgia could maybe be looking at the best offensive line class of all time, and at least in terms of, you know, profiles coming out of high school. And that really continues this weekend. When you think about, you know, crucial weekends for recruiting, it's not just Milton. It's the presence of Rame and some of these offensive linemen as well, is it not?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest recruiting chips that you look at these same programs is because they have an offensive line. If you're a running back from California, what's the draw to the University of Georgia? One, you see the talent that's already in the room. Two, you see the opportunity that previous backs have had. And number three, and probably the most important right now, is the talent that's walking in the door with you. So you've already got four studs that have signed or committed to come to the University of Georgia. Potentially there's another, and like you say, it's possibly one of the best recruiting class I know in Georgia history, if not the college football, for the offensive line class. Well, that's a draw. If I'm a running back, I'm looking at those type places to see, man, can I fit in there, knowing that there's going to be great opportunities for plays to be made.
And, Jeff, I'm going to give you a chance to weigh in on some of these offensive linemen taking visits in just a moment. We'll do a lot of that, including your questions and comments here live today as a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here at Callaway Resort and Gardens as we roll through Dog Nation Days of Summer. For a moment, though, I'm going to let you guys step off here, and I'll remind you that, of course, Around the Doghouse is presented by Merriweather and Tharp. Listen, one of the tough subjects out there in life sometimes is the subject of divorce. Obviously, no one wants to go through that, and many people assume that it would never happen to them. But if it does happen to you, the one thing I can tell you is you want expert counsel on your side. You want the kind of people that are caring and concerned about you that can get you back on the path to making your family whole once again. That's why I want you to check out theatlantadivorceteam.com. The website, once again, theatlantadivorceteam.com. A ton of free resources, podcasts, blog posts, everything else, and the kind of consultation that's going to set you up to feel better about a situation, obviously, that is not the best thing to be going through, but if you are going through it, you want someone great by your side. That's why you want to check out theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, here live at Callaway Resort and Gardens, I'm going to let John and Jeff step off for a moment because I want to highlight what has already for us been a great week that continues here throughout the weekend. I want to bring up a special guest. As I joked about last night, a new friend, but certainly a good friend, Pam Bauer from Callaway Resort and Gardens. You know, Pam, we talked a lot about this off the air last night, but I want to make sure we take a moment to talk about this on the air too. Thank you so much for your hospitality. I have heard so much from our folks who've been here, and they've all had such a good time. We just really appreciate you guys rolling out the red carpet as much as you have.
It's my pleasure. The red and black carpet, officially. but, I mean, I work and live in paradise here, so to be able to share it with all of Dog Nation has just been such a pleasure. So we're so glad you're here and ordered this perfect weather. So thank you, Mother Nature.
Yeah, I hope that people really get the sense of how good this weather is, and I hope that wherever you're watching or listening to us right now, I hope the weather heading towards your weekend is good as is here. I joked with somebody before the show started this morning that on a scale of 1 to 10, the weather this weekend's like a 40. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Off the charts, and it just shows that summer is when we really shine. Every season's beautiful, but you got to make it here in the summer.
Well, a little earlier, we have the great lake behind us, and we saw some water skiers out there, and, you know, it's one of those things where I've talked to so many of our people who've been here, and they've been making plans to come back again, and I think when folks maybe see some of the videos we've shown or kind of see the backdrop when we're talking here, I think it piques their curiosity, because for some people, they haven't been to Callaway Resort and Gardens. You know, what is on their agenda, what should be on their agenda when they come out here and enjoy this?
Well, in the summertime, it's all about the outdoors. We are Georgia's authentic outdoor scape, after all, so you've got to get outside. I mean, it's hard to leave your beautiful lodge room or your cottage, but you got to get outside, take advantage of Robin Lake, the beach. If you're like me and you're not a thrill seeker per se, but a chill seeker, you're gonna get your chair, get your book, hang out by the pool. But, you know, if you're a thrill seeker, we've got the skiing, the tubing on our amazing nautique boats, that the same waters that the masters ski on. It's awesome. And but we also have zip lining on our treetop adventure. You probably saw some bicycles too. Oh, yeah. Our bicycle trails are great, safe for the kids to be out and meander on 13 miles.
That's probably a little bit too much exertion for me on a Friday morning.
After You're a chill seeker.
I'm more of a chill seeker than a thrill seeker. So we had our big event last night. How did you feel like Dog Nation did? We didn't tear the place up too much, did we? We didn't do too much damage to the property. Were we okay guests in your house last night?
For the most part, I think the audience was definitely behaved. I'm not sure I can speak for everyone that was up late on a school night.
We won't tell too many stories about that, I don't guess. So I'm today going to get a chance to take advantage of the beautiful golf course. We're going to play the Mountain View course. I'm excited about that. I'm going to do my part not to tear the track up too much, though. Not take too many big divots out. I'm going to try to leave it as I found it, which is in pristine condition.
Well, please do. And I know yesterday I heard the wind inhibited some golfers out there. So, whatever you can do on this perfect day to not mess up the course, we appreciate it.
Well, I will tell you this, and this is in all seriousness. I'm here with my family. We've got couples who are here. We've got, people of all ages. And really, I'm overwhelmed by how there's something for everybody. My kids are and they're enjoying the water park down the lake. They're enjoying the pool. They're enjoying they want to see the Birds of Prey show a little bit later on today. So for them, there's so much to do. But for the couples, the married folks, everything else, really, there's no shortage of options, no matter kind of what station of life you find yourself in.
100%. And that's what I always try to share with people and remind them. In fact, tonight or last night, so many people said, "Oh, come to Fantasy and Lights. It's a tradition. We love the holiday season, and we are it's just such a great memory for so many people." But they said, but we haven't been to Callaway Gardens in a while. Yeah. So I like to remind folks, it's every season, especially fall, maybe on the off weekends that George is not playing, come and visit with us. We are in Pine Mountain. We have beautiful rolling hills. Pine Mountain is beautiful in the fall. And our Spirit of 52 restaurant and bar, it's a great place with 26 TVs to watch every game. That's of course, crazy. Catch the dogs. Yeah. So if you can't make it to the game.
Well, Pam, as I said before, you guys have been so hospitable to us. We've had such a good time. And I'm really looking forward. We're going to continue our stay into the weekend here. I'm looking forward to having a whole lot more fun to come.
I love it. I can't wait to hear how you conquer that thrill seeker list.
Thanks, Pam. That's Pam Bauer. We'll take a quick pause for our radio audience here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, but we'll let you know we got plenty more coming up. In fact, we are back here live at Callaway Resort and Gardens for Dog Nation Daily. We'll get our buddy Jeff Sintel and John Stinchcomb back with us here, and we'll get them all set up and ready to go. And, of course, as we promised, we'll have a lot of time for you to interact with us here as well. We'll take a lot of your questions and comments and kind of everything else. And I see John here. Jeff, as per usual, are running a little bit behind, but we'll get him back in a moment. See, the one thing, John, you got to understand is I've been working with Jeff for a long time. Corralling him is a little bit like herding cats a little bit. It's like trying to put a raccoon in a box sometimes. It's a little bit hard to sort of keep up with him and kind of where he's going.
Well, I believe it. Having seen last night, I mean, literally every fan that he encountered had some inside scoop they were looking for with these recruits, and he doesn't mind sharing some good information, and folks love talking to him. So I'm sure he's as a prima donna a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Listen, I've always said, you get Jeff out here in an experience like this, you can get him a little loose-lipped, and he'll probably tell you some of the things in an environment like this that he wouldn't necessarily say somewhere else. So I think that's really good stuff. Let me pull up a few comments here, and we'll kind of get going with this and find out what some of the folks have to say. I'll do some of this on Facebook now, and then we'll get the YouTube audience involved in a big way coming up a little bit later on after that. On our Facebook comments here, as we do Dog Nation Daily Live from Callaway Resort and Gardens, let's find out what some folks have to say here. We'll pull this up and get rocking and rolling a little bit. And sure enough, we will have Jeff coming up in just a little bit. We'll get some from him as well. Y'all pardon me for a second as we're having a little bit of a issue pulling these up here. But while we pull this up, John, one of the things we heard last night from so many people was just the overall sense that obviously they've been waiting for a long time, and you know what that's like. We talked last night about the fact that when you won the SEC in 2002, that had also been a little bit of a drought. 20 years of waiting for an SEC championship. But now folks have had a few SEC championships, and they're looking for that national championship for the first time. And I thought it was really interesting last night to see that balance of Georgia fans who, on the one hand, feel very optimistic that 2019 could be a big year that changes all that, but also that sense of, I guess, realism that until it gets over the hump, there's a certain level of angst that's not going to go away.
Well, yep, you have to beat the final giant. I mean, any video gamer out there knows that you can beat a lot of bosses, but until you beat the big boss, it doesn't count quite as much. But looking at Georgia, they've improved. I mean, we have climbed up the ladder. I think the exciting thing for all fans is one, you got a great coaching staff you feel really good about, and two, now you've got the talent in the room. So could 2019 be the year? As a Dog fan across the country, I think every year we feel like this is our year, and only in recent times is that justified by what's existing in Athens going into the season. So across the board, there should be excitement, and I think it's justified, and the build that they've created. I mean, you're looking, was this year four for Coach Smart?
Yeah.
And the culture and system that he's created? More so than anything, I think that's what's important for a program at any level is creating a culture. You're creating an identity. Does it help having great athletes in the door? Of course. But more than anything, and I think I experienced this probably at the highest level in the NFL, is that the difference in margin shrinks in talent.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you see with Georgia and Alabama and Oklahoma and Clemson, is there's not going to be some huge difference in talent in your locker room. The difference becomes with the culture and the identity of the team. And Coach Smart has made that a priority since day one. And usually it takes 3 or 4 years for that to really take root. You've got your senior leaders pouring into the new guys, and that's when that culture really starts to trickle down.
Jeff, one of the things we're going to do here is take a lot of questions and comments from folks and just kind of be casual with our format a bit today. One of the things that Joseph Kennedy brings in our comment section, to go back to something we talked about at the top of the show, that with Kendall Milton taking his official visit to Georgia this weekend, you look back on the 2019 class, Georgia had the commitment from John Emery Jr., lost that to LSU. Listen, that's going to happen when you go in-state of Louisiana for a running back. But then at the sort of final moments of signing day, wasn't able to secure Trey Sanders, missing out on 2 5-star running backs a year ago. Does that put more pressure on Georgia to secure a Kendall Milton or a running back of that caliber for this year, knowing that Georgia had 2 high-profile misses on that a year ago?
No, actually, I actually think the opposite, Brent. I think it releases the pressure because everybody looks at Kendall Milton's decision in his top four, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, Alabama. Well, LSU went Waffle House scattered, smothered, and covered on running backs last year with John Emery Jr. and Ty Davis. Those were the two highest backs on Georgia's pecking order. And then Alabama, they picked up Trey Sanders, who was the nation's number one running back last year. I think the fact that Georgia didn't take two studs, let's call them, in 2019, it just makes the grass a little bit greener, thins out the depth chart a lot for guys like Kendall Milton and Zachary Evans. To be very blunt, I don't think Georgia would be in the race for either of these guys had they loaded up last year.
So that would mean that maybe LSU is in a tough position because it does have Ty Davis and it does have John Emery Jr. We've seen LSU emerge as a finalist here, but in terms of the running back haul they brought in last year, it sounds like that puts them at a bit of a disadvantage.
They've got players there. I mean, Emery and Ty Davis were the real deal. They were very great. We talked about them all the time on the Dog Nation Forum as the guys that Dell McGee really wanted. And they're at LSU right now. And the funny thing, though, is maybe Kendall Milton won't get to see what they can do as freshman yet, but I'm sure he's heard about it by the time he makes his decision.
Really nice comment on Facebook from Keith Foltz, who says, B.A., the experience here at Callaway Gardens was great. I hope Dog Nation does it again soon. Listen, I hope that we get a chance to be back here at Callaway Resort and Gardens a whole lot. And, Keith, I'm really glad that you've enjoyed this, and I hope all of the folks here as part of Dog Nation Days of Summer have felt very much the same way. John, also on our Facebook
Hey, Brandon, don't mean to interrupt, but while we're on that subject, this germinates in my mind all week this week. You know, me and you put out content, and we spit out stuff, and we're supposed to, you know, information. I'm going to tell you, it touches me to see folks come out to something like this, and I don't think we say thanks enough. I mean, I met a gentleman here this morning. He sets his alarm every day for 10 a.m. when Dog Nation Daily comes on because he doesn't want to miss it. And I know we're all in this get the story, do good work or whatever, but, you know, for me and you both, this is a lot of time away from our families, and we want to – obviously, this is a great institution that we're covering in doing this, but – at the same time, I'm just deeply thankful that what we do matters to so many people.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. And, you know, John, we were talking about running backs a moment ago. Joel Moody in our Facebook comment section talking about what Georgia could lose after this season. We'll certainly lose Brian Harry, and DeAndre Swift has a very good chance of going to the NFL, and I think that's a consideration that he'll pay very close attention to. And when you look at what has been the hallmark of Georgia under Kirby Smart, these great running backs, this great running game, I think – the obligation to maintain that strength, to make sure that you do bring in at least one elite back. Maybe you find a way to bring in two, depending on how the numbers work with the signing class. But finding a way to maintain what has now become a pretty good recent tradition under Kirby Smart of having the multiple thousand-yard backs one way or another, maintaining that moving on in 2020 is going to be a key issue for Georgia.
Well, it always will be. I think running backs is one of those positions where, as a young guy, you can step in and play pretty quickly. That's been proven not only at the University of Georgia, but across the country. So guys are looking for that immediate opportunity. I think what's exciting for University of Georgia is Zeus. I mean, everybody coming out of high school, there was no one with more higher acclaim than Zamir White, and you know, he suffered an ACL tear unexpectedly in practice. That's going to happen, but you talk about an unknown commodity that folks should be excited about seeing for the first time wearing the red and black. I think he's a player everyone had circled a couple of years ago and were coveting across the country. You're super excited for him to come to Georgia. Well, now he's entering into that phase. If DeAndre leaves, Brian Herrien has got 1 year left, that he's looking at an opportunity to be that bell cow back that, he was the former number one running back in the country that, you know, how does he get looked over? Somehow he's managed to fly a little bit under the radar this time of year.
And that's really interesting. Yadante Edie in our Facebook comment section brings up an interesting statement. I'm going to sort of see if I can pin Jeff into a corner and kind of put him on the spot with this. He says, Milton Evans, that's Zachary Evans, Arik Gilbert, Darnell Washington, Keely Ringo, Justin Flo, Jordan Burge, Marcus Roseme. We're getting all of them, he says. So here's my question. Which of those names is the least likely to land at Georgia?
Whoa, let me recap those all.
Milton Evans, Arik Gilbert, Darnell Washington, Keely Ringo, Justin Flo, Jordan Burch, Marcus Roseme.
I would say Justin Flo, because I don't know what Georgia is going to need to do at inside linebacker. And Noah Sewell is a guy out of Utah, and you know this would be interesting. We've touched on this a couple of times on our platform. Now, he's a Polynesian American. His family comes from, you know, those type of roots, and you know that would be.
Wait, isn't Polynesian already American?
Well, I just mean like he has Polynesian bloodline, and his brothers are all over college football, and this would be the first Georgia Bulldog I can think of can you imagine a Bulldog doing that haka before a game, going through the dog walk with his family? And, you know, one of the things that's kind of a known in recruiting circles is, you know, Alabama didn't start to get that type of player from Hawaii and that part of the world until Tua Tagovailoa came there. And then all of a sudden Alabama started getting those guys. It is in some ways where people want to see a guy there that's kind of like them and whatever and understands their culture and heritage. And that would be big for Georgia if they could get a guy like that. Now, get this. He's a 265-pound backer, much like Devin White was in high school. Devin White was that big, and then he got in fit and got in shape, and then he became the beast that he was for the LSU Tigers. I would say Flo rings a bell right there on that list. I think that probably is the biggest one right now.
That's really interesting. That is one of the elite prospects in the country. That is a name we don't talk about quite as much. All right, listen to Bill Kelly here, John. He says, how about you guys video some BA golf so we can have a good chuckle on Monday? And that's just not nice. Come on, we're having a good time here.
Shots across the bow, BA.
Yeah, listen, I don't need anybody making fun of my golf game. So if you want to know which celebrity my golf game probably resembles the most, both in terms of how I look in golf attire and how my swing looks, probably Charles Barkley. Have you seen Barkley swing a golf club?
It's the ugliest swing. I mean, it motivates me to pick up a golf club because if he's willing to humiliate himself with that choppy, choppy swing, I mean, I feel like I can at least make a smooth 180 with the stick. But, man, that's ugly.
Yeah, listen, here's my promise, Jeff. I am not good, but I am pretty fun to play with because I'm kind of a jovial guy. I also play really fast. I take no practice swings. Practice swings are a total waste of time. I take no practice swings. If I lose a ball, I'll take 3 seconds to look for it and then just drop another one. I'll kick a ball 20 yards towards the fairway if I have to. I'm not above doing that. So the one thing I can promise is while not being particularly good, I am probably pretty fun to play with.
Brandon, you're pretty fun at everything, aren't you, sir? Despite your wisecracks sometimes about in the middle of live broadcast where you get a little loose and free, You know, we all have fun out there. I think that's the best way to say that. You go out there and everybody says, oh, man, I didn't have enough time on the driving range, or, oh, I haven't played in so-and-so long. But as long as you find one good golf shot every hole, then you may be doing something, and you don't lose too many balls. I would call that a win.
Oh, by the way, change the subject for a moment. Scott Harris brought this up in our Facebook comment section. Did you see the videos of the Georgia players going through the hot wing challenge the other day? Did you see this? So I know Connor wrote about this at DogNation.com. Let me see if I can describe this correctly. So it was like, what, four wings with like very, very hot sauce. Insane sauce. Listen, I'm not giving any free plug. Very, very hot sauce. No, you couldn't drink anything, right? You had to finish them in. Is it 1 minute?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Four wings with nothing to drink. You feel like you could pull that off?
Now, having seen, was it Adam Anderson? He did it with no problem. His face looked like he was unaffected. I'm not that guy. When I first got to New Orleans, you know, everything is spicy in season there. So I was just, we were talking about it earlier, right before the broadcast, with one of the fans. And the trainer that used to run with our offensive line group, he would keep Tums because, you know, all the spicy food. I wasn't used to that.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at these guys that are crushing these hot wings. I mean, I salute you because I could probably get – I feel like I could get down one or two, but the way Anderson put them away with no problem was impressive.
Yeah, Jeff, I feel like I could win a wing eating contest where you see how many you can eat, but in terms of, like, see if you can eat the hottest wings with no, like, beverage to wash it down, I'm not good at that. But if you want to sit here and try to knock down 50, 75, something like that, ooh, I feel like I'd have a chance to pull that off.
Do you think you'd fare better in a wing or a hot spicy sauce wing contest or out on the golf course today? What do you think?
Listen, that may be about both. Either way, people are going to be making sour faces when it's all said and done. I would say that's probably pretty well. Joseph Kennedy says that maybe Adam Anderson will also kill on the field here this season as well. And that is, Jeff, one of those 2018 signees that a lot of folks are really excited about. You know, it's kind of funny. The 2018 class, and I've said this before, we talked about this a lot, is really about to be in the same spot in some respects that 2017 class is, where there are still a few fan favorites from 2017 that people are waiting to see pop, and that wait continues, and their level of support from the fans hasn't gone down, despite the fact we haven't seen them play quite as much. For the 2018 guys coming in their second year in the program, because of the rise of guys like N'Kobe Dean, and the rise of, potential rise anyway, of Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson, Adam Anderson joins Brenton Cox, who was kind of interestingly in a looked to be a bit of a cast in a photo that Dan Lanning just tweeted from last night. But he joins Brenton Cox. He joins Channing Tindall, Quay Walker, some of these 2018 guys where I think there's a little bit of a curiosity moving to that second year. How do they fit into this Georgia defense?
Yeah, I think there's a tendency here. First of all, when you're in an elite program with an elite roster like Georgia does, these freshmen have to be truly special in order to play. Really, at any level of football I cover or seen or been around, your second year in the program is when you really pop. You grow. You show growth. You've been through a whole season. You've been through an off season. That's when you see, okay, this kid's going to be something. This young man's going to be something. And as much as everyone now has their eyes on Jermaine Johnson, Nolan Smith, you've got N'Kobe Dean and guys like that are coming in to be in the linebacker group. Let's not forget Tresman Marshall. Let's not forget Ryan Davis. There's also a 4 or 5 pack of dogs from that 2018 class where this is the year where they should make the move. And you go Adam Anderson, you go Brenton Cox, you go Channing Tindall, you go Quay Walker. Those are 8 guys right there that are the envy of any depth chart situation in the country as far as Georgia goes. And you wonder which ones out of those 2018 guys rise to the top and hold off these hard-charging freshmen.
Yeah, I think that's right. Joel Moody actually had a really good question for you, John, on this same subject. I want to give you a chance to answer that. First, let me pause for our radio audience here for a moment here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. And, you know, we are here live at Callaway Resort and Gardens. It's our Dog Nation Days of Summer. It rolls on, and it's great to have all of you with us as a part of the program here today. We're having a great time. We truly do wish you could be here, and you'll have a chance to be a part of future Dog Nation Days of Summer events coming up. But for now, we are indeed basking in the sunshine of Callaway Resort and Gardens. And for the folks who have been here with us, I think they would all attest, it has been a really good time thus far. John, I promised a moment ago that Joel Moody in our Facebook comment section had asked a question that I thought was kind of interesting. He wanted to know from you, when you look at that array of pass rushers that Georgia has, which is the one that you would least want to try to block? And I let me try to set this up, this question this way. I may be wrong about this, but you know, let's say a guy like Brenton Cox is, you know, fully healthy and on the field. My assumption is he's probably trying to use his strength as a pass rush more, whereas, you know, maybe, you know, there's a guy like Adam Anderson who may be trying to use speed more. You know, certainly Nolan Smith is going to use, you know, kind of a blazing array of speed. What is more difficult to block? The guy that has the technique, the guy that has the brute strength, or the guy that just is just fast as lightning?
Well, the worst is when the guy has all three. And then those are the true nightmares is you try to take away their strength, right? You know what a guy likes to use. And what was, oddly enough, one of the guys that's really popped to me is Aziz Ojulari. Ojulari. You watched him in the spring game. You see him flash later when he had those opportunities in practice in December. But, I mean, in spring ball, he was the guy that jumped out to me as having the most opportunity to affect the passer. If you're trying to replace a DeAndre Walker and you're looking for talent coming off the edge, Brenton Cox, he brings a certain skill set that you know, if you can bring speed with power, and he does that pretty effectively, that makes it hard on tackles. And then Aziz was able to put together a couple pass rushes. You think, man, that catches your attention. For young guys, Nolan Smith, his motor was running high. Mm-hmm. And that makes it hard. I mean, you want to be able to beat the guy's first move as an offensive lineman. You want to beat his first move, and that be it's over, right? But guys that have high motors, I think of J.J. Watt, you know, that never stop. Back in the day, a Falcon was Patrick Kearney, where he rolls one move right into the next, and it becomes a full day's work where you have to stay on your toes. I think that's what you see from a lot of these younger guys is, one, the high motor, but can they match it with the technique? So it's a work in progress for Nolan Smith, but you start with quite the template in that, you know, he plays hungry, he talks hungry, and he's got a lot of talent.
Jeff, I want to talk to you about what John said about Aziz Ojulari in just a moment. But, John, let me get one more thing from you on this. And this may be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know, I'm a baseball fan, and when you watch a pitcher and a batter battle, I think from the batter standpoint, there is a sense of, what is the pitcher trying to throw me? Is he going to go inside? Is he going to go outside? Is he going to go off speed? Is he going to try to, you know, get me with a fastball? I think that baseball requires thinking about what the opponent's trying to do. Much the same way for a pass rusher, you know, there are a lot of different ways you can approach it. How much of your job, you know, as an offensive lineman trying to prevent that, how much of that is anticipating from a cerebral standpoint what you think the move you're about to see is, and how much of it is just being an athlete and reacting in the moment?
Well, for me, it was a lot of study. You know, you spend all week long trying to figure out little keys and the tricks to each guy. I played next to Jahri Evans. I mean, he didn't need to watch a lot of film. He didn't care what you're going to do. He's going to put his big old paws on you and lock you up. So, player to player. Jonah Williams was that the tackle Alabama. Out of Alabama. He's doing these spreadsheets for each player to, and I think smart players do that. You know what the strengths of your opponent are. You know the moves that they like to go to. You assess the different situations. But at the end of the day, you just got to get out there and play.
And then, Jeff, along those lines, I mean, once again, to be overly simplistic, but this really is why Georgia wants big offensive linemen, right? Because when a big offensive lineman puts his hands on you, it doesn't matter how – to a certain extent, it doesn't really matter how fast you are. It doesn't really matter how strong you are. Just moving that mass for these really big, long-armed offensive linemen that Georgia has cultivated and coveted – that really can neutralize a lot of those different varying styles when it comes to the pass rush.
Yeah, I'm going to make it very simplistic. I got an elite back one time who's now in the NFL when I was covering him. I said, how do you really feel about offensive linemen? I gave him, okay, truth serum question. How do you really feel? And as an elite guy, he said the term bookcase. I want him to be a bookcase and just wall the guy off and just make it hard for him to get to me. I don't need a pancake. I don't need a slobber knocker where the guy ends up like something out of Stone Cold Steve Austin on a block. He just like, tie him up and let me get by him. That's what I want to see, because I think you give me that every play and I can take over from that. Now, in some ways, the really great offensive linemen do a lot more than that. They can get to the second level. They can not only get that guy, they can get the next guy and kind of road grade everything down. But in terms of offensive linemen, especially with the type of guys Georgia has and the running backs they have, Georgia's capable of so much more, but these backs have so much talent where they just need to occupy a guy and let him get to the next level.
You know, it's kind of funny. I've actually heard Mark Richt say almost that same thing. And obviously, you know Richt well. You know, as fans, we love the highlight plays. We love to see the offensive line just put a guy in the dirt. But, you know, as Coach Richt has said before, that you don't have to just maul people in every play, but you do have to successfully complete your block on every play.
Well, it's pluses and minuses. I mean, we dial it back. You make the game super simple. Did you win your block or did you lose it? And there are guys that are going out there for the highlight reel blocks where, you know, you post on your Instagram account because you took a guy and ran him 6 yards and buried him in the dirt. Those are great. Everybody wants those. But if you followed those up with two whiffs, that you're going to lose your job pretty quick. And offensive line is based on consistency. I mean, you got to be pretty repetitive in your win ratio. As a defensive end or an outside linebacker, you get 2 sacks a game and you're getting the game ball. As an offensive tackle, you allow 2 sacks in a game, and you're looking to see whether you're on the starting lineup the next week. So offensive line is based on consistency of creating those holes. And, you know, when you get the opportunity to bury a guy, you want to take it. But really it's more play in, play out of finding that consistency and creating the space for those playmakers to do their job.
I think it's a really good point. And, Jeff, as promised, I want to come back to you about a name I mentioned before. Now, John knows the game. He studies the game, you know, closely. I gave him the entire array of Georgia pass rushers. Thought it was very interesting to hear him use the word Azeez Ojulari, the name Azeez Ojulari. As we head towards, you know, summer practice, really just down a few weeks, we are a few weeks away from summer practice, which is really fun to think about. It's hard not to imagine Azeez Ojulari, and I apologize for using the double negative, not being a really major part of the story for Georgia. You know, Kirby Smart has complimented Azeez going back to how he finished the season, being able to play in the Sugar Bowl coming off of his injury. I've heard really positive reviews similar to what John just said there. It's really interesting. A very deep position group for Georgia. Outside linebacker may be the single most, the single deepest position on the Georgia roster. Azeez Ojulari stands right there, second to none, at least seemingly right now, right?
Yeah. You know, him coming out of Marietta High School, he wasn't the five-star guy. He was only the nation's number 10 outside linebacker.
He counts as an underrated player for Georgia.
Weak side defensive end. They had the five stars in Brenton Cox and Adam Anderson. I knew this about Azeez going in. I spoke to his high school teammates, his high school coaches, and they said he will be a team captain one day at Georgia. He will be setting weight room records at Georgia for his position group because he did that at Marietta High. He did it in the power clean, and then he's going to do everything else a coach wants him to do. And everybody wants to know about, like, sometimes our coverage, stock reports, who's trending, who's hot, who's cold. I'm as high as on Azeez Ojulari as any outside linebacker the Bulldogs have coming back for 2019. Nolan Smith is up there in that group, but right now I think his stock is higher than guys like Robert Beal, another All-American that gets forgotten a little bit. You've got Brenton Cox, you got Adam Anderson, you got Jermaine Johnson, all those guys. But Azeez Ojulari, he doesn't have 10s in all those Madden ratings. I heard you guys talking about video games earlier, whatever. He doesn't have 10s in all those ratings, but he's got high 8s and 9s all the way across the board in all of them. And there's no gap. And, you know, while we're on the subject of backers and blocks, I know Stinch saw some of that man-o-man war between Nolan Smith and Andrew Thomas at G-Day. First of all, Nolan going on the franchise offensive tackle was one thing, but there were a couple blocks where Andrew had help on his side to help deal with it, help deal with chips and everything else on Nolan's side. So you see that, and then you combine what Kirby Smart said about Nolan late in spring practice. He said, still doesn't know what he's doing, gives us all kinds of effort every play, and he's had a pretty good spring.
That's rave reviews at that point for a rookie to come in who's not even, had 1 year in the program. You hear that from your coach. That's a ringing endorsement.
But it's fair to point out for a lot of these guys, you know, experience does matter. Being in the program for a year matters. Now, in the case of Nolan and maybe N'Kobe Dean, maybe they are just so athletic that you can't keep them off the field. But in terms of who's our, you know, pick to break out, I do just have a tendency to look more at the previous year signing class, the guys who had a year under their belt. Even if they weren't playing a ton, I think being on campus for a year matters. And so if you're really looking for those breakout stars, don't you look from that crop of 2018 guys, in some respects maybe more than 2019 guys?
Well, I think you can. It definitely helps because you gain the experience. That's the best thing a player with talent can gain is those reps to get the timing down. But outside linebacker, defensive end, those rush edge players – they don't have to play all game. That's the beauty of the position. I mean, left tackle Andrew Thomas is going to play every snap that offense takes. That outside linebacker, the edge player, you know, you can roll those guys in as long as you have the talent that doesn't drop off. You can also look at your matchups. You know, if some guys are better in the power game, if they're better off speed, you can assess the tackles they're going up against, and you're looking for those matchups where you gain the edge. And if you have the depth that we're talking about, one, they stay fresh all game long. That's a nightmare for an offensive line. You want to see the same guy knowing that he's had the wear and tear from 65-plus plays leading into that two-minute drill in the end of the fourth quarter that you have. The worst thing is you see the fresh face come in, and he's sprinting onto the field, and you know that, you know, you're gasping for air having battled for 50 minutes of a game already. So that plays to the advantage as long as there's not a drop-off in talent. And I think that's what we're talking about is you're looking at two, three deep of a rotation that there's a lot of talent there that, you know, it still takes development. We haven't taken one snap in training camp yet for the 2019 season, but there's a lot to be excited about in that position group.
Let me get right in. A big point there is we just learned how Stinch thinks, a technician on the offensive line, and how John went about his work is he studied guys. Well, if any team, any opponent has three or four guys that are same in talent across the line, okay, he's got to learn what number 45 does. He's got to learn what number 91 does. And he's got to learn what number 50 does. And that's a lot of expertise he's got to spread around. And maybe that third guy, that up-and-coming freshman, you don't know what is in his arsenal yet.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Jeff Sintel, John Stinchcomber, live here at Callaway Resort and Gardens as part of Dog Nation, daily presented by Kroger today. Speaking of Kroger, huge thanks to them for being a part of our program. Hope you'll kick off the weekend in style with them. That includes, like it does for me and my family. I saw my kids walking around earlier. They both were walking around with a big old cup of real dairy milk from Georgia cows, the kind of stuff that you get at your local Georgia Kroger. So please make sure you check that out. Of course, Kroger helping us kick off the weekend here at Dog Nation Daily. For now, we're going to wrap up the podcast and radio portion of our program. If you're live on video, we'll keep things going here from Callaway Resort and Gardens, part of our R.S. Andrews cool down. But for those of you who listen to the show in the audio version, thanks for being with us here today, and we will look forward to catching up with you back here again on Monday, once again from the friendly confines of our Dog Nation World headquarters studios. You have a great weekend, everybody.